Thank you for listening to this message from the Pentecostals.
Let's praise the Lord. All right. We got you with me. Amen. Welcome to what we call Family Sunday according to our teaching schedule. We typically have a series that are about four lessons each. We've completed three series, and now we're going to wrap it all up with the last lesson. It is not a series. It's a single lesson that we are going to talk about. And today, that lesson is the prayer God hears. The prayer God hears. And so we want to talk about today, because God honors prayers that are prayed according to His will. We should commit to praying prayers of blessings over others. Prayers that reflect God's purpose for their lives. What does that mean? Let me summarize it. Very specific, focused prayer on God's will. Perfect prayer is prayer that is in God's will. We're praying God's will. Who actually has a better will for someone? You with your good intention, or God who has love that we have yet to measure up to? Who? God. And so why do we pray our will, even for ourselves? Isn't God's will better? Do we actually believe that His will is greater than our will? His will has greater love than our will. His intentions are greater than my intentions. Do we believe that? If we believe that, then we should be praying His will and not my will. In fact, we know that Jesus said, pray in this manner: thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And we all have a lot of will. I know what I willed for myself and my family recently, and you have things that you will. I'd rather it go this way, God. I'd rather it work out. I've got a nice little layout and plan, and it's comfortable and it works well for me. And God's like, well, great, then go at it. And when you're ready for mine, which isn't just well, it's perfect for you, I'm here. Just start asking and pray it like this: thy will be done. And that's hard for us to do. We want to pray our will, and I'm not calling that a sin necessarily. Sometimes we're in a moment, we're anxious, and we don't understand the circumstances around us, so we pray our will. That's all we have at the moment. So it's not this horrible sin that you ask for something, but the Bible says many times what you don't receive things because you ask amiss. Why? Because you're asking your will. If you will root your prayers into His will, you'll start seeing some results. And if you don't believe that, then try it. And don't tell me you tried it and nothing's worked. Okay. Nothing's working. You're trying your will rather well. We need to pray God's will. And I'm a bit toasty today. I'm going to actually do what my wife recommended and take my jacket off. Pardon me a moment. Now you guys think I'm actually going to start preaching. I will try not, but if the Holy Ghost said so, we'll change it up a little bit this morning. But we're going to have great preaching here at 10:30. And I don't want to try to supersede anything God's already planned. This is a lesson on prayer. So let us go into Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons. Let me pause for a second. Aaron, the priest, right? High priest there. Why didn't God just speak straight to him? Why not? He operates in his ordained chain of authority. God can speak and did speak to Aaron. But on certain matters, he needed it to. Aaron didn't need to get a haughty head and start thinking, well, God talks to me too, and this is what he said, and da 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 da. You know what? God understands how things will flow if it's not done right. And so, though, yes, God could have spoken directly to Aaron, he spoke to Moses and said, you tell Aaron this. And so let's go back to verse 23. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise Ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. This charge was given to Aaron and his sons of the priestly order to pray in a manner that would allow blessings to be released upon the people of Israel. This blessing was to be used daily. Somebody say daily. Daily prayer blessings upon these people as they were in their journey through the wilderness. And the Lord's voice declared a blessing that would be available to the people of Israel. This prayer was quite specific. If you read back through those verses, you see it's rather specific. Carefully crafted to bring about God's favor upon his people. No details were going to be overlooked in this prayer. He had a very distinct intention, God did, in having prayed. Couldn't God just have done it? I mean, let's just make it easy. God, why don't you just go ahead and bless? Then we don't have to remember to pray every day. And then we don't have to have it done in a specific order. And we actually don't have to worry about whether or not we're in your will. Just bless us. You're God. You're able to do that. But that's not how God wishes to operate. What kind of relationship is that? He wanted that daily reminder of who is the one blessing you so that you don't get all caught up in thinking that it was you that did it. I'm taking care of myself. I'm self-sustaining. I don't really need God. He knows us better than us. And the thing is when you don't have any needs in your life, you kind of don't need God. That's just human nature. We get to a point, why do I need God? Some people even say, why do you have that crutch? Why do you need that crutch? Well, I tell you what, if you can somehow find a copy, you need to get a copy about what Brother Tess Stewart preached about at camp meeting when he talked about leaning on something. You need to be leaning on something. And let me tell you what that something is. That what others call crutch, I call Jesus. And I'm going to lean on Jesus because as long as I'm leaning on that, I'll never fall. All these others, they fall, and they fall hard, and some fall all the way into hell, and I don't want to be one of those. And so if anyone ever wants to ask me about my crutch, I'll gladly tell them all about it, and they'll probably never, ever ask me about a crutch again. So yes, we need to be dependent on God. We need that daily prayer. When the time came daily, Aaron and those of the priests of the Lord assembled together in an appropriate setting to pray this prayer over the people. And the people would gather together and they would receive this prayer. And so we would see the priests praying a blessing upon them, word for word, precisely following the command passed on them from their leader Moses. They didn't get to be crafty with it and put it into their own words and say, well, it kind of follows the essence of what God wanted. Watch out if anyone ever uses that. Follows the essence of what God intended to happen. Well, you go on and follow the essence. I'm going to follow God's will. If he said to do it this way, then this is the way that we are to do it. And we are to not get creative with it and do it any other way. Because now you've mixed yourself into it. And if you wonder why we've got so many different doctrines, it's because so many people throughout the years decided they wanted to add a little here. Or take a little out there and kind of craft it so that the people would receive it better. And now look at where we're at today. A world full of confused people that walk in a form of godliness but deny the power thereof because somebody decided to get crafty with God's word. Well, the priests knew better. They knew better than to do this, so they started praying this prayer. And they were all assured, including the priests, that his blessing would continue to be with them if they kept praying this. But I like this part. The end of the prayer required that God's name be placed upon the people. Remember that? Verse 27, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel. Anyone know about that experience of having the name of God placed upon them? There were symbols of this in the Old Testament. pointing forward to the day that we would have that name that's above every other name placed upon us. And this was telling us the importance of the name. If somebody is not too worried about being baptized in the name of Jesus, we need to remind them this prayer didn't do much for them if they left out putting on the name upon the children of Israel. It was sealed. It was signed. It was authorized. This prayer of blessing happened because somebody applied a name. Likewise, our blessings happen because somebody applies that name. That is why in the New Testament it says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus. It authorizes what you're doing. It empowers and brings satisfaction to what you're doing. Whatever you're attempting to do, do it in the name of Jesus. Don't just teach a Bible study. Teach the Bible study in the name of Jesus. Don't just pray for somebody. Pray for somebody in the name of Jesus. Put that name upon it and people will be blessed. Our enemy loves nothing more than for Christians to walk around praying this title, God. And you've heard it. And the prayers sound good. And I actually listen to many eloquent prayers when I'm praying with peers. And maybe we're at a flagpole at school and you hear them say, Father God, Father God, Father God. Title, 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 title. Who's Father God? Call on the name that invokes authority. It was established way back in the Old Testament. And it was established, reestablished with the revealed name of God to his people. The only name given among men whereby they must be saved. In fact, we read about the apostles. We read about them being beaten and thrown into prison and threatened with their lives. And they had a real quick fix to that. If you don't like being beat up and you don't like being whipped and you don't like being thrown into jail and you don't like having to sleep with one eye open, they didn't say stop preaching. Read your word. Just stop preaching Jesus. If you take what you're doing and you take the name out of it, that name of Jesus, you know, that we don't like that name. It disturbs things. It kind of muddies things up. It messes up our plan. And well, just take the name out and you'll stop offending everyone. See, Jesus even told them this would happen. That people are going to be offended for my name's sake. And they're going to want to beat you. They're going to chastise you. They're going to try to torment you all because of my name. Well, bring it. Torment me then. If that's what's necessary. But let us not water down our prayers. Let us not water down our conversation. Let us not water things down by taking out the only thing that authorizes what we just said. We don't pray in this church to pray. If we come down here and we pray and we don't call the name of Jesus, do us a favor. Call the name of Jesus for us. Let us not leave the most specific and most important piece of it out. Because even here in the Old Testament, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and comma, and I will bless them. I stand here today, a year later, able to teach this morning because people didn't just pray for me. They used the name of Jesus. They authorized what they were asking for. They were praying for God's will to be done and then they signed it off and said, finished. I prayed this prayer today in the name of Jesus. Now it's authorized. Now there's some weight to it. Now there's authority to it. Now there's power to it. Now it can make a difference. And that's what you wear the name of Jesus in your life. If you've been buried in his name and filled with your spirit, you are Jesus to people. And if you're Jesus to people, then you need to use that name and not worry so much of how that's going to make them feel. In the aisle at Publix, well, you didn't have to be so loud with that prayer. You didn't have to go crying out, Jesus. Oh, yes, I did. And yes, I will. And yes, I do. And yes, I'm gonna. Because I know that I remember. Does anybody remember the time where Jesus wasn't around in your life? You remember the time when you never called on His name? You remember those days? I remember those days. Those days weren't so great. But ever since we've been calling on the name of Jesus in my life, things have been awesome. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, it didn't bother too much because I had a name that could change the circumstance. So we see, they're told, make sure you pray this prayer. Aaron, the high priest, commanded to speak blessings over the people of Israel. Are we not a royal priesthood? Were we not told that you and I are a royal priesthood? Therefore, we have the same authority that Aaron had. That if you and I, as a royal priesthood, would call on the name of Jesus, people will be blessed. Does anybody actually believe that today? If you do, put your hands together. I believe it, and I've seen it. Not just for myself, I've seen it for others. Pray, but don't leave out the name. God, we come to you. Fine. God the Father, you know, use all those ascriptions of God. Lion of Judah, Lamb that was slain, Lily of the Valley, Rose of Sharon, Rock of Ages, Chief Cornerstone. That's awesome. None of them have the authority. They're just descriptions. You don't believe me, go down to the bank and sign your check. Father. And then they'll give that thing right back. There's a whole bunch of fathers in this building. I need to know who's signing this. And the only way to identify is to put the name. And so the enemy hears all those prayers, kicks back and laughs. He's not worried about it. I mean, he's not concerned about coming into the presence of God. He's not concerned about coming up into your church when you're not using the name of Jesus. But something about when we use that name. I mean, we sing the song, don't we? Something about the name of Jesus. And everybody shouts and gets excited. I'm not even going to try to do it as well as everybody else does up here. But there is something about that name. Let me tell you what it is. It's the name that makes the difference. It's the name that brings salvation. It's the name that authorizes the prayer. Because as a priest, a royal priesthood, we should also pray blessings upon people, but pray it in the name of Jesus. Pray for the healing in the name of Jesus. Pray for their deliverance in the name of Jesus. Pray for their salvation in the name of Jesus. But also, don't forget, as we get all excited this morning about the name of Jesus, don't forget, pray His will. Pray His will. We can, because of good intentions, pray our will. But what is God's will? Sometimes we don't know. And that's why we say, I many times come to God and say, I absolutely have no idea what your will is for this little child that has tumors in its heart and brain. I don't know what your will is for the family. So if you'll grant me a few moments of babbling, God, just to at least comfort myself in this, I'm going to pray things that I think might be your will. But I ask you, and I'm telling you how I pray to God, but I ask you, God, as I begin to open my mouth, reveal your will that I can pray it. And then at the end of the prayer, I said, nevertheless, of all the things that I have said today, God, I pray ultimately the will that is above every will, in the name that's above every name. Thy will be done in their lives and in this circumstance, in the name of Jesus. And it's all right. The Bible tells us that sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. So the Spirit, you get those moanings and groanings in the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit knows what to pray for. But we've got to be willing to submit to that and allow the will of God to be prayed through us, because I tell you what, He said how to pray it in a certain order. And they were to pray this prayer in this order. And they couldn't mix it up and do it their own way. This was His way. And so we need to be careful. God, if He changes not, there is order to how things are done. We don't need to get out there and scattergun prayer for people. Don't get so excited and frothy and sound like just because you got a loud voice, the prayer is more effective. No, you know what an effective prayer is? The prayer that is God's will. And sometimes you need to pray yourself into praying God's will before you start praying for someone else. That's why these little 2-minute prayers don't really work that well. I'm not saying God can't do something. You may be walking in God's will. Or the Spirit of God may have revealed His will. Then pray it. But if that's not happened yet, you're not sure of that yet, get your head in His will. Begin to ask. I can't tell you, and I know many of you saints that have been in this thing for a long time have had the same experience. Someone comes down to this altar, and you know, there's just, they say know them by the fruit. We're not supposed to judge people, yet we're supposed to judge people. Kind of confusing, right? It's all a matter of how you're judging them. There's a wrong way to judge people and a right way. The right way, the Bible says, is this: know them by their fruit. If you come in and you smell like liquor, I'm not going to think it's your cologne. I'm sorry, I came out of that life. You smell like liquor because you drank too much of it. But I'm not going to judge you in any other manner. I'm going to look and say, I remember those days, such were some of me. But I'm going to know by the fruit that I'm smelling, this guy's struggling with alcohol. Or this person's smells like pot. They're dealing with that, or marijuana, or whatever other drug. You can know them by their fruit. And when we get that, we feel like we know what to pray for. Do you really? I need to pray for his deliverance from alcohol. Really? I'm not saying that's wrong. He does need that. But is that what the Spirit says to pray for? I can't tell you how many times I'm walking up feeling all righteous and feeling I got the power of God in me and I'm ready to pray. And the Holy Ghost says, don't you touch him. I'm like, oh. I go over here and pray for so-and-so. Yeah, they're doing fine. Here we are, my opinion on things. And after a little wandering, now everyone, every time I wander down here, I'm going to think, look at Daryl trying to get his opinion out of the way. Maybe that's what it is. You know, I can't say it's not. Oh, Lord, what's your will? What's your will? What's your will? But then when the Spirit speaks and says, go pray this prayer. Now, sometimes it's freaky because I think I've referenced before. There was a couple that came in that looked like they would kill anyone who came near. Literally. I mean, I thought, my gosh, there's a spirit of anger upon them. And he said, walk down there, go to the back in front of them, lay hands on them and pray for them. And I'm like, ah, you're funny. There's a whole bunch of people right there. They could just turn around and do that. Because they scare me. But I obeyed and they got the Holy Ghost. God's will. My will was, let me wait until they at least crack a smile. Then I know they're not packing and ready to kill someone. They're, you know, picking someone out today who's going to be the target. But no, we pray God's will. Why? Because we are that priesthood. And when God says, pray to this, go pray it. If the Spirit of the Lord is saying it, pray it. And sometimes, you know, if He doesn't say, yell it in their ear, then don't. I just, a couple weeks ago, for a friend of mine, I knew what he needed. We all knew what he needed. He knew what he needed. And he came to this altar and I was ready to go lay hands and pray. And I just felt God was going to fill him with the Spirit that day ever since he came in the door. But as I approached, God said, don't touch him. I'm like, what am I, filthy? You know, am I too dirty? What's going on? And so I did my little wandering, prayed for a couple other people. And then I felt led, now go pray. But be silent. Be quiet about it. Kind of touch. Put your hand on him, but don't get where he can hear you so he won't be distracted. Okay, Lord. And then God started giving me words to say. And then a few minutes later, Pastor Wells came up and he stood to his feet and we prayed and God filled him with his Spirit. I can tell you this, the things God was praying for me to pray against were strongholds. And that's all. But he didn't need to hear me praying for strongholds. See, there's a way to pray based on the visible need from your carnal self. Your carnal eyes see that carnal need. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying it's carnal. You smell like alcohol, you need deliverance from alcohol. Kind of adds up logically, right? But maybe this day it's actually the deliverance from something else, and alcohol is just the byproduct. You deliver the person from depression. They don't have a need for alcohol anymore. You just solved. You killed two birds with one stone. So they go out of here and they've been delivered to alcohol, but they're still depressed. Now they find something else to comfort them. And I never once prayed for the comforter to be their comfort. I mean, we've got to pray in his will, like this priesthood. In their prayers, God was the subject. It really wasn't them. It was God and what God can do for his people. The prayer focus was on God. They used words that denoted certain actions that demonstrate. In Numbers 6:23, there's a word called bless. It refers to the entire blessing that follows and covers all the actions of the prayer. And we just thought it meant bless. All of the actions, the entire blessing that covers all the actions of your prayer. That's what that term bless was defined as. It testifies to the work of God, and it also references the divine assistance given to that person while you're praying for them, or to the people while they were praying for them. Then there's a word translated keep, which indicates specific blessings concerning their safety. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. To be your protector, to be your banner, to be the host that is surrounding you and protecting you and keeping you safe. And you're just saying, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. But the Lord knows what you're talking about because you're praying what he told you to pray. You just might understand it as bless thee and keep thee. And he understands it as surround them with the host of protection. Cover them with my blood. Keep them with my spirit. He understands what he needs to do. We just need to do what he asks us to do in prayer. The shining face of God identifies of God's gracious action toward them. It illuminates the character of God and signals his favor upon them. And then we look in Numbers 6:27 and we see that it's only God who will bless them through the words spoken by the priest. The priests pray that over them. You have the power that these priests have. In fact, you have more. For God was on the outside operating through them, but he is inside of us. We are the body of Christ. Therefore, we are the ones that should pray. Not just the pastors and the leaders and the prayer leaders. Everyone in this house should be praying. You must pray for yourself and for others. And once you recognize that you have the authority of the royal priesthood to pray, then you should be praying. Don't just call us. I'm okay if you call me. Could you come pray? I've had that before. Brother Ebright, you get it all the time. Could you come to our house and pray? Yes. But have you been praying already? You think I got some kind of special juice that makes me more holy and apt to see it? I'll tell you what that juice is. It's the Holy Ghost. So maybe I am a little more filled up than you. But you know what? You can change that today. You can be right on the level playing field, have the same power, the same authority, the same name, everything that we have, that Brother Ebright has. You got faith. You want your faith to get better? Start practicing with it. Remember how I always say aim high? Imagine things. Because he's able to do even more than what you can imagine. So imagine the healing. Imagine that crooked arm actually going straight. Because I believe God can still do that. That he's not void of any power, that he didn't use it all up last century. And now he can't do that, but maybe once every few months. No, all the time. He can heal people. He can deliver people. He can help people, including you and me. But we've got to pray his will. Don't get sad. Some of you were saddened. As you prayed for me so many times for God to heal me. And I thank you for that because that's exactly what I wanted to do. But it wasn't his will. And I didn't tell all you that. I told Pastor that God said, I will be on a journey. So the actual prayer that would have been most helpful was God give him strength and give his family strength while they're on the journey. And let them learn something about you while they're on the journey. And let the anointing increase in them while they're on the journey. And those are the things that people came up and prayed. From all over this state, I had people coming to me at camp meetings and all sorts of stuff, seeing them at different functions, and they would come up and they would pray, and I knew the prayer was right on. They knew nothing about the circumstance other than the cancer, but they weren't praying for healing. It's like God said, He's going to be on the journey, so go pray for the journey. And they came and they prayed. And I remember Dale Eason last year getting out. He literally stopped his big old SUV, got out of the car, walked to me. And he and I weren't tight. We sang together a few times. We did a few things together. Saw him at some of the Sunday school camps, stuff like that. We weren't tight. He gets out of the car, comes walking right over to me. He says, Brother Dale, I need to pray for you right now. And he puts his hands on me. He says, Can I just pray? Can I just turn loose in prayer? I said, Absolutely. And he started praying, God, give this man strength so that he can walk this road that he's got to walk. Who wants to hear that? I was hoping you would say instantaneous healing right now. No, strength to walk this road. And I'm going, what in the world? This man is in the spirit. He's conferring with what God already revealed. And so we joined together, two of us, in the name of Jesus and in agreement. How can you be in agreement if you're praying your will and I'm praying God's will? That is why a lot of times things don't happen, Brother Chris. We're spending too much time praying our wills. But the Bible says if you'll two agree on this, God's going to make it so. How do you make sure you're agreeing on it? The same way they did in the upper room. It'd been in a week-long plus prayer meeting. I don't know if it's because it took that long to get in one accord. That seems logical. Or what? Or they may be in one accord within a few hours and just, you know, God was teaching them long suffering. Or you know, we actually know the timing needed to be right too, day of Pentecost. But they were in one accord. They were in one mind. And the only way to really get there, because you and I are always going to have a different opinion. If I tell you to explain my jacket to someone, those in the front will explain it better to those in the back. It's what we see carnally. Some of you back there don't see the pattern. Some of you up front do see that there's a pattern in that. So your descriptions of the same thing will be better. They're not in agreement. They'll have some similarities, but they're not in full agreement. And that's the way we pray many times. Because we pray for what we see. We see someone who needs a liver transplant. So we pray what we see and we pray what we want. But if two of us come together and pray correctly for how that should go down, and the only way to do that is in His will, then things start to happen. But it's not always comfy to pray God's will. Because sometimes God's will is to let them die of the cancer. Sometimes it's, I'm not going to heal you of MS. You're going to walk the journey the rest of your life. That sounds cruel. Does anyone believe God's cruel? Nobody? Are you sure? Because I was talking to a man Friday night, and there was a man that had colon cancer and died from it. He was a preacher. Sounds cruel to me. It didn't do it to me, but allowed it to happen to him. That's just not fair, is it? Really, am I going to have my opinion about that? Or should I just keep my mouth shut and understand that what I believe is God is a good God, and all things work for good, and God loves us more than we would love ourselves. So if all those things are true, then what happened in that person's life was good. But you and I, Sister Christy, we can't say, if God had elected to let you live your whole life with MS and all the things that come with that, it'd be harder every day to say God is good. But His nature doesn't change because of your sickness and my sickness and Sister Barbara's sickness and everybody else's, Sister Cador's sickness and everyone else that has dealt with things. Or because you're financially destitute today. Is God broke? I'm getting there. As soon as my check comes in, I'll send one to you. No, I think we all believe that His riches are beyond measure. Oh, okay, so then He's just being mean because He's not giving you anything. You're sitting there starving. I don't believe God's mean. So if I actually believe what I'm saying, then God is allowing you to suffer because he loves you. And that's why the Bible is riddled with statements that say, rejoice when you're in these trials. Why? Because God loves you. God's allowing this to happen for a reason. To me, it means he's got his attention on you. That's kind of nice to have. With all the children in the house, it's nice to know God's attention is on me. Kind of feel a little spoiled at the moment. And those are the ways we have to look at things. We have to look at stuff through spiritual eyes. Understanding that you and I are a royal priesthood, we should act like this priesthood had to act. We pray specific according to God's will. Somebody say God's will. You pray specific to God's will. Then you pray in the name of Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. So if you pray God's will and you pray Jesus, things will start happening. Don't pray your will based on how you assessed the circumstance and what it looks like to you. He knows, in fact, all of what you guys can see. You can't see everything about this situation right here. What's the material on the inside of my jacket made of? What are the inner sleeves? What do they look like? Can you tell me? Don't y'all see this? How many stripes are on the inside of the arm? How many horizontal stripes are on the outside? Do y'all know that yet? Do you know how many little itty bitty squares are in there? No. What you know is this is some kind of a bluish jacket. And so your prayer would be about a bluish jacket. But the God of all eternity, if he knows the hairs on my head, our head, right? It changes daily. But if he knows that, he stays up with that. He knows every intricate detail about the circumstance. Would it not be better to just say, you know what? That's nice and all, but I'm going to talk to him because he sees things that I don't see. And then he'll reveal to me what I actually should be praying for. And then I'll pray for that. Because he might say, I want to pray about the stripes on the inside of the arm there. There needs some fixing on those little stripes there. And so I need you to pray that. But from your perspective, you don't see that. Therefore, when you pray, it seems good, but you're asking amiss because you cannot see and don't understand what you're praying for. Yet God knows. He knows our need. He knows. And so, go to him first. And I'm learning this, folks. People say, will you pray for me and my baby? I said, I'll pray something for you right now for comfort. But let me ask God what to pray for you and your baby. I told that to Helen Besvold. Because she is in a dire circumstance. Her son had 43 seizures in just a couple hours. God is good, Helen. He's a good God all the time. She's not feeling that. I wouldn't be feeling that. But I believe God loves Noah. And I believe God loves Helen. And I believe God's intention is for good. So if I have to do that, I need to quit looking at the jacket and just say, yeah. What I see is a little misleading. What I know is God's good and God's got a plan. And so I said to Helen, I said, I'll pray. I'm going to pray for comfort. I'm going to pray for peace. I'm going to pray for God to reveal to you what he's doing in all this. I said, but in order for me to really effectively pray, I need to get a hold of God myself. And so I'm not going to stand here and pray something that sounds good. I'm going to go and I'm going to pray. And that's what I was doing Thursday in the altar. Couple things after we're done singing and everybody's heading out. I said, I've got to pray now. I feel like I know what God's doing, so I'm going to pray. It wasn't instant. It wasn't right when it seemed to be the need. And she probably thought, why don't you pray, you know, throw down heavenly prayer right now. It was just a calm little peaceful prayer. Why not? Because the throw down heavenly prayer only sounds good. And that's the problem, church. We got a lot of people that sound good in your prayer. But don't just sound good. Pray good. And the only way to pray good is to pray the will of God. And the only way to pray the will of God is to get a hold of God. and ask for him to reveal what you should pray for. And if he doesn't, then start praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Your will, God. This person is dealing with cancer. Thy will be done. This person is dealing with liver issues. Thy will be done. This person right here looks like they're going to have to do major surgery on the spine. Thy will be done. I really don't know what needs to be done. I know what I'd like to see. I'd like to see across the board healing so that we can have a good herky-jerk on Sunday and then wait for the next one. But what I really need to do is pray, what are you trying to do in this? Because I can tell you this, even Brother Darrell learned a lot about God that I thought I knew in the last year. And had we not gone through that, I wouldn't have learned what I've learned. Tisa wouldn't have learned what she learned. And my children would not be who they are today. Which blows me away. So in the midst of the storm, and someone quoted that, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, it's the shadow of death. It's not the valley of death. Because death doesn't have power over me. Now, death's going to swing itself into the light every now and then. What is a shadow? When something's in the way of the light. If there's no light, you don't have a shadow. And if there's nothing in the way, you don't have a shadow. So to me, death was trying to get in the way of the light of my life. And so there was a shadow come. But I'm just walking through the valley. Because you know what's casting the shadow? The mountain. You know how to get to the top of the mountain? Keep on walking. Because the valley ends at the base of the mountain. And then I'm going uphill. Go figure. And you keep walking. And all of a sudden, the thing that blocks the light is now behind you and under you. And there's fullness of light where you stand now. And when you understand that scripture, and understand when you're standing on the mountaintop, you no longer see the valley. You no longer see the shadow of death because it's down in the valley now. It's not in your life. The perspectives change. And so we were walking through the valley. Thank you for not praying me out of the valley. Thank you. I'd have missed a lot. I'd have missed my mountain hike. I'd have missed getting to the other peak. To see what's on the other horizon. To see what else God has in store. To see what's next. And to know now I know that God can get me through this valley. That's a big valley there. But he hadn't changed. So I figure I can walk through this valley now. Because the Lord was with me. His rod and his staff, they comforted me. He was the God who led me beside still waters. Led me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. David began to learn about God because of the hardships he had to face. So don't pray them out of a place where they're going to learn about their God. Pray thy will be done in their life. Pray his will and pray it in the name of Jesus. Because you're a royal priesthood. You are authorized to do what these men did. And now I'm going to wrap it with this before Brother Ebright comes. To pray. You're going to hear more from our senior pastor over the next several months. We're well equipped. We've got the baseline. We've got the foundation. We've got the structure up. We're ready for great revival. We're ready to reach our city and our region in so many places. The only thing is now we've got to open that door. Everything's ready. Remember, you think about we got this Titus Landing, right? We drive by every day and it looks ready, right? And you see the building, you're like, why isn't it open yet? Why isn't it open? Everything's been set. Everything's ready. And then you look around, you're like, all right, we got all the stock on the shelves. Everything's clean. We got all the employees. Got the electricity, AC going, parking lot's ready, the construction crew's cleaned up and they're out, and now we're ready. Okay. Well, why is nothing happening? We're ready. But nothing's happening yet. Oh, we've got to unlock the door and open it. And when we do that, they start to come. I never met them before in my life. And they're coming into my store. And they're They're walking up and down the aisles. They're spending some time here, and they're being impacted. They're excited about what they're feeling and what they're seeing. And here they come. There's more. And then word of mouth and more. Before too long, you got a full store. We're ready. But we need to unlock the door and open it. And the only way that that is going to happen is if we quit hanging on the prayer of a ladies group that meets on, what is it, a Tuesday night, Sister Sylvia? And we quit hanging on Brother Ebright leading us in prayer here on a Sunday and Brother Chris and the team leading us in prayer on Wednesday. We need to start getting on our knees as the church. Because it's not going to happen with just a handful. God's waiting for the priesthood. Moses didn't say, Aaron, you pray this prayer. Read it. It says, Aaron and his sons. That means the priesthood, not just the high priest. All were to pray. What? Read it. Go back to it. Numbers chapter 6 and read that starting in verse 22. All the priesthood was supposed to pray. They weren't supposed to set up a schedule. All right, Aaron, this is your day. And then this is your day. And this is your day. And we've got a prayer, 24-hour prayer rotation. No. All the priesthood had to pray for all the people. And they had to pray it in God's order. That means His will. And then they had to pray it in the name of Jesus. And if they did that, God would bless the people. If you and I really want to see revival, if we really want to be able to be a regional church, then we've got to be able to bless this region. And we will not bless this region just because of anointed preaching and teaching, and because we have programs, and because we do block parties and strawberry festivals. Yeah, that blesses some people. But if we want to bless the region, then you and I, would everyone stand to your feet right now? You and I need to recognize that we are the royal priesthood, every one of us. Therefore, every one of us who have been baptized in the name of Jesus, we have that authority. We are filled with His Spirit. We have His power. If that is you, then you are a royal priesthood who should be praying daily the prayer with me and you and you and you and everyone here in this church for God to bless the people. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the name of Jesus. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the name of Jesus in Sanford. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the name of Jesus in Cocoa Beach. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in the name of Jesus in Edgewater, in St. John, in the region God has given. And if you'll join together and quit laying it upon the shoulders of 20 people in this church, then the door will unlock and the door will be opened, and then and only then will we see the promised revival. I wonder if you'll commit. You don't have to stand in a microphone on a certain day in front of people and pray. You can pray it at home. You can pray it here. You can pray it right now in your pew. But whatever the case, and be sincere. Don't lie to me. The Holy Ghost is here. Do not lie. Make your decision today. I feel. If you will commit to be a priest that will pray, just start with once a day. Once a day, every day, for God to bless the people of our region. Lift your hand. Don't lift it if you don't mean it. I will not frown upon you. Some of you sorting stuff out right now. Sort it out. Sort it out. And then join us. But if you just saw all the names here, if we will do this soon and very soon, sooner than you imagine, it is going to happen. And you're not going to be able to get the glory for it. You know why? Because at that point you realize it happened because I prayed for His blessings. And I prayed in the name of Jesus. And He did it. Thank you for committing. Now let's come with expectation every time. Do not forget.